Who's doing children's church today? Tracy. Tracy's got the kids heading out. So y'all head on back, and Miss Tracy will children's church you. Hey, we've done a lot of prayer this morning. I do want to bring one more prayer request. We got a note this morning from one of our sister churches, Gateway Community Church. Joel, how much, can I share details or just... Okay. So all we know is something happened. You know, we don't know if it dealt with church or if some people just chased someone off the street and they ended up in the parking lot. We don't have details like that, but what we do know is there was a physical altercation, a gunshot. Nobody was shot, but the bullet did go into their sanctuary. I would say that's spiritual warfare. I would say Satan is trying to disrupt their service today. Probably did a pretty good job of it, but I'm going to pray right now that that God will kind of do a complete 180 with that and let them just know how much they're protected by God. Let that be something that just drives them to worship and praise God this morning, that He protected them from this attack. So let's pray for them right now. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I want to pray for our sister church, Gateway. God, for the Long family over there, for Pastor Long and his wife and all his kids and our family over there. God, we just pray right now, just thanking you, God, that you're a protector. God, that you protected them, that didn't happen in the middle of a service or when kids were in there. God, we just want to thank you so much that church is a light in the community. And God, I just ask that whatever happened this morning, God, you would somehow allow it to make that light shine even brighter. Let some people hear about the church and see how they respond to something like this. God, we thank you that you protect them, and we thank you that you're going to do something amazing over there. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, we are in the book of...
Peter,
there we go. So 1 Peter, we're going into the second chapter now of 1 Peter. Just real quick, if you haven't been with us, what we've seen in 1 Peter is Peter is writing and telling them, and y'all remember this, that he's saying we're all on a journey. He's saying that we are aliens in this world, that we were saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are headed towards this future grace where the gospel, the good news of Jesus dying for our sins and us taking on his holiness, when we walk into the judgment room of God, God's going to see Jesus and not us, and that's that future grace. In between time, we're going to live with this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's going to help us become more and more Christ-like. And what we've seen in the first chapter were four commands that Peter gave us. He said, set your hope on the future grace. He said, you always be thinking about not just that I was saved, but what that salvation means. He said, be holy because God is holy. So that's saying let that Holy Spirit live through you. He said, live out your time as foreigners here on this journey in reverent fear. And that reverent fear we talked about is understanding what would happen if we entered eternity without Jesus Christ. You know, that understanding of who God is. And in command number four that we studied last week was love one another deeply from the heart. That was that agape love. He commanded us not to just brotherly love somebody, but choose to love each other. And he told us that we had the power to do that through his word and through the gospel. And so now we get into chapter 2, and there's going to be one more command as we start chapter 2, and that's what we're going to look at today. So chapter 2 and verse 1, chapter 2 and verse 1 says this. The first word says, therefore, and we need to stop right there, right? So many times we'll run over that word, therefore. What was that old saying? When you see therefore, you need to stop and ask what it's therefore, you know, what? Why is it there? A therefore statement connects what Peter is going to say with what he has just said. You know, we've put in the chapter separation. When Peter wrote this letter, it was just a letter. There wasn't a chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. We've done that so that we can kind of more have it in more easy findable ways. So in Peter's original letter, you know, it just said what it said, and then it says therefore. And so the therefore is pointing back to that last command that he just gave. We see in that last command that we talked about last week, it says, you know, if you've been born again, and if you've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, then you have the capacity to love each other in that agape way, and that's going to be through this gospel truth, this word of God. It called the gospel the imperishable seed that we have, because as we focus in on the imperishable, that means when we get here, you know, it doesn't go away. It's with us the whole time. So this imperishable word of God. So he said, therefore, because I've commanded you to love each other, because you realize that as you have the Holy Spirit within you, because you have this imperishable word of God, I'm going to build on that just a little bit. I think Peter, he was saying, and I don't know, did any of y'all practice that agape love this week? Did that cross your mind any? I need to put out some Facebook posts just to remind you of the command of the week. That choosing to love one another. He said, it is so important that we as the family of God choose to love each other. And we said last week, sometimes we have to make ourselves do it. You know, we just have to say, who needs to be loved? And go out there and give them some love, because it's that choice we have. And it was so important that this next command kind of builds on it. Here we go. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, if you're like me, I was going, how is that connected, right? You know, where's the therefore in loving to each other into this next group of words that Peter says? Now, as Peter has shown us, what he likes to do is he likes to give this command and kind of circle it with supporting things. So if we kind of dig through this real quick, the therefore rid yourself of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind is a supporting phrase. The actual command is, like newborn babies, is to crave pure spiritual milk. That's the actual command there. Crave spiritual milk. So let's look at that for a minute. Let's look at that command, and then we're going to look back at these supporting phrases that are on either side of it, and look how that connects to the verses in front of it. First, let's talk about the spiritual milk. That's kind of a strange word. You know, crave spiritual milk. I'm not even sure what that looks like. I know what chocolate milk looks like, right? We know what skim milk is, but what is spiritual milk? In the Greek, the word right here is logikos. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but within that logikos, do you hear that word logos? You know, logos. It's the word. The word, it's a form of the word. And so in this, the actual place where you see this in just every day, if someone was just writing in Greek, that logikos would mean reasonable. Reasonable. So that makes it even more confusing. Crave reasonable milk. Y'all like reasonable milk? I like reasonable milk. But when it's put into a spiritual sense, this is what it is. It is of the word. Of the word. And here's how we get reasonable out of it. The thought is that logikos is the wisdom or knowledge that comes from the truth given to you. So the wisdom or knowledge you have from this truth. So if I read a book on how to fix a car, the knowledge I would get from that book is this logikos. And that's why, you know, if someone says, should I do this to my car? I would pull upon my knowledge that I got from the book, and I would give you a reasonable answer. And so that's kind of why, if you look at some, translations that are just word for word, they would say the reasonable milk, and you would go, what is that? But when you put it in a spiritual sense, it's talking about the knowledge and the truth, wisdom that we get from the Word of God. And so many translations will just have it that way. In fact, the King James, the New American Standard, the Amplified Version, NIV probably gets it just a little bit wrong. The rest of those will say, crave the pure milk of the Word. The pure milk of the Word. But I think it's a good translation because it's that thought of that spiritual truth that we get from the Word, really. And so here where it says, crave spiritual milk, it's saying, crave that knowledge that you're going to get from the Word of God. Okay, so what we have here is a command to crave. Now, isn't that interesting? A command to crave something. Usually you don't have to be commanded to crave. Usually, if it's something that you like and that you crave, sometimes those Little Debbie snacks, I'll stop at a gas station and I'll go in to get something and I'll see one of those, oatmeal circle cookie thing with, and I just go, I'm on a diet, but it's only 50 cents and it's, never mind. Crave is the word we want to look at. What does it mean to be commanded to crave something? The word crave in Greek is a kind of a compound word. The word is epopatheo. Epopatheo, that's a fun word. Patheo, that part of the word, means to yearn. So when you yearn for something. But in Greek, if you want to really make that a strong, forceful statement, you'll put this little three-letter word in front of it called epo. It's an intensifier. It's saying, I really yearn for that. And so here what we see is Peter saying, here's the command, really yearn for this milk of the Word. Really yearn for it. Used 9 times in the Bible, this epopatheo. Every time it means the strongest possible yearning you can have. The kind of yearning that makes everything else you want seem a distant second place. So here's Peter saying, what you've got to do in this life that you're living in this strange land is you've got to get to the point where you just desire to get this knowledge of who God is. You just desire the spiritual milk. You just desire the Word of God. He kind of makes sure you understand this by putting a word picture in there. The word picture was, as a newborn baby, epopatheos, milk. Now the newborn baby, just straight, he's just saying that baby that has just been born. And we can all get a picture of that, right? You've got this beautiful little baby, and it's so delicate, it's like a little flower, and then all of a sudden it opens its mouth and the most horrible sounds just come out, and it's screaming and it's yelling. And what does it want at that time when it's screaming and yelling? Daddy, right? It wants it. No, it doesn't want it. It could care less about the daddy, right? It doesn't care if you've got the nursery looking pretty. It doesn't care about the color of the blanket. It has one need, one overriding thing, and that is to get milk into that mouth. And once you give it that pure milk, it's satisfied for a little while, and then it goes to screaming again. You see, Peter wanted you to get that picture. He wanted you to understand. He's not talking about just, I kind of want to read the Bible. I kind of want to get into that. He's saying, like a newborn baby pushing everything else aside, have this craving in you that if I get nothing else today, nothing else, I want the Word of God. We see this with Jesus, right? If you look back to Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Matthew. And he was tempted by the devil after fasting for 40 days. Okay, we got the picture of fasting for 40 days. Anybody here ever done a 40-day fast? I think I did a juice fast that maybe last 2 or 3 weeks one time. And I was getting the juice, at least I was getting something. Jesus was just on a total fast for 40 days. Can you imagine how hungry he is? Those pains. He said he was hungry. Just in case you thought maybe Jesus didn't get hungry. He was hungry. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He said, here's your little Debbie snack, right? Just make that into oatmeal cream pie and you're going to be good. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You see, 40 days of no food, and what was Jesus' craving? His craving was the Word of God. He said, I don't need food. My craving, my epipatheo, is this Word of God that I needed. And so Peter says, we were saved by Jesus, and now in this life we're becoming more and more like Jesus as we're heading to the time where his grace is going to cover us. And what's covering us now, where we're going to see the final part of how the grace covers us. As we're heading that way, he said, become more like Jesus. He said, here's one thing we know about Jesus. Jesus craves the Word of God. He craves to know more about God. He craves to understand God better. That time we spent just a little while ago, man, that was neat to me. We were just yelling out things about God. There was something in me, right, that said, that's good. That's good to hear about God. And Peter's saying, intensify that. Intensify that. Interesting thing, that baby, when it's screaming, does it realize why it wants milk? It doesn't, does it? It just knows it wants it. And in the same way, we might say, Blake, I don't even know about this wanting the Word of God that much. But God knows how important the Word is to us. Just like a parent knows how important the milk is to the baby. But we're not called to understand why. We're called just to crave it. It just knows what we want. The baby does, and we know what we want. Let's talk about that just for a second before we look at the house twos. The first thing I want to say is, isn't that a strange command to crave something? Isn't that a strange command? How do you make somebody want something? It's almost a thing where I kind of go, really, God? I don't know if I can make myself crave something. We can't make ourselves crave certain foods or crave certain. It just seems to be that's an emotional thing that we do, is this craving. But what I want to tell you today is, instead of seeing it kind of as something impossible, like, God, how in the world am I supposed to crave the Word of God? I want you just to stop for a second and think through why Peter commanded it. Why Peter commanded it. First, if you command something, it's usually not something people are already doing. Right? If I wouldn't stand up here right now and say, I command you to breathe. Right? You're already breathing. That would be silly of me to say, breathe, Waller Baptist Church. The same way with Peter. Why would Peter take time to say, crave the Word, if this is something that just naturally came to Christians? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. What he realizes is within us is the Holy Spirit, that craving is going to come through. But there's also all this old stuff that's still on us and old ways and all. And it's kind of battling against it. And Peter is saying, listen, you've got to let that craving come through. You've got to let it come through. It's not going to be natural. So if you're sitting here right now and you go, man, I really wish I was some great Christian. I see these people that they want to spend hours and hours and hours in the Word of God. And you go, I don't feel that. And suddenly it's almost like we have a Christian spiritual fatalism. It's like we're going, I'll never be able to crave the Word of God. I'll never want to spend that much time praying. I'll never want to. And then we kind of settle into that. And we just live our lives in this, you know, I don't feel it, so therefore I must be less than a Christian than other people. And that verse ought to just blow that out of the water. Peter is saying, I realize this isn't natural, but I also want you to understand that I am commanding you to do it. Another thing we know about craving is that we must have the capacity to do it for someone to command us to do it. I would hope. I mean, if I told you right now, I command you to rise up and float up to the top of the church, I really doubt any of you would do it, right? Even though you might want to do what I'm commanding, even though you think what I'm commanding is a good thing, you don't have the capacity to float. If I, as the Word of God, if I say I command you to crave the Word of God, the implication is, even though you don't feel it, you have the capacity to do that. You have the ability to do it, or I wouldn't have commanded it. And so in that, you can kind of go, all right, you know, it's okay that I don't feel it, but the Word of God says that I can do it, so how am I going to get there? The last thing I know about commanding from a good commander, if it's coming from a good commander, it must be something really good for us. It must be something really good for us. If God through Peter is saying, crave the Word of God, then I know that it's okay that I don't write this second. I have the capacity to, and if I'll do it, it'll be something good for me. That's why this is an important command. In fact, this might be the most important command. It might be the most important command in the series of commands, because how do you set your mind on the future grace? How do you become holy like God is holy? How do you have a reverent fear from God? How do you learn to love each other in an agape way? It's through the Word of God. And as I crave the Word of God, those other commands are kind of going to fall into place as I'm getting more and more of the Word of God, and it's transforming me as the Holy Spirit within me suddenly is set loose to do what the Holy Spirit is to do, which is to bring glory through my life. So let's keep moving on this then. How do you do it? How do you move from where you kind of go, I kind of like the Word of God, or kind of, I don't get it at all. How do you move into craving the spiritual milk? The first one I'll put out there, and it's implied in here. It may not be said, but number one, you pray for it. Number one, you pray for it. You admit your need. When you come to God, you say, God, you know, I want to crave the Word of God. I think several months ago we did a sermon, it might have been a year ago, where we kind of came to this conclusion that sometimes we may not want it, really, we might not have that craving inside us, but we want to want it, right? God, you come to God and say, God, right now, I admit that craving for the Word of God, I just don't have it. Sometimes I'm lazy. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I'm distracted. Sometimes I put a lot of other things above you, God. I want to admit that, God. But I want you to hear me right now, God, say, I want to want the Word of God in my life. Do you think God would answer that prayer? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." Now, is craving the Word of God, do you think that's God's will? Yeah. And it says that if we'll come to Him and ask for that, then He's going to do it. Now, I've got to warn you. In this society that we live in, you know, when we ask something, this is how we think the answer should be if the answer is yes. It should be now, right? It should be immediate. God, I want to crave the Word. And you kind of sit back and say, where's that? And then when it doesn't come, you go, well, that didn't work. Okay, I'm back to, I'm second-rate Christian. You know, I can't really. No, listen. It's a process. It's a process. God will begin that process as you ask him for that. But we'll see in just a few minutes, the verses following actually say that you're going to grow up into your salvation. You're not, you know, my kids right now, right? They want to be 18 years old. You know, I want that. You know, I want to be an adult. I want to, you know, and we want it now. And it's the same way with this. You're going to ask God to give you that craving, but you're not going to immediately, you know, have it. You're not going to, it's going to start being a process that God brings into your life. So the first thing is to pray about it. And when you pray about it, you're agreeing with the Holy Spirit that is already inside you, that is craving that word of God. It's connecting you. Second thing is, you need to start allowing the Holy Spirit to live it through you. Right? You know, maybe I don't personally crave the word of God. Now, I there's times I do, and there's times where, like, yeah, I get real distracted. I was real distracted last night around 11 o'clock at night with something that was on TV. I don't remember what it was. But, you know, it's okay to be distracted. It's okay. But it comes back to this thought is I want to agree with the Holy Spirit that is within me that is craving it all the time. And listen, sometimes you just, how do you say this one? I don't want to say it, but it'll give you the right context. Sometimes you just got to fake it till you make it. You know that word? You know that phrase? Now, I'm not saying be fake about your Christianity. I'm not saying don't be fake. But let me illustrate what I'm saying and see if it makes sense. I think probably about 4 or 5 years ago I shared this illustration, but it's one of those ones that really touched my heart. I read this book about this guy, and he was talking about letting the Holy Spirit live through him. And he said he came to this conclusion that the new life that he received when he asked Jesus into his heart is who he really is. He said, I just came to that conclusion. If Jesus said that's who I am, that's who I am. And he said, actually, the fake me is this me that everybody else sees and how I kind of feel inside. He said, that's really the fake me. He said, the real me is I've been sanctified by the word of God, and when I get there, you'll see the real me. But right now, I've got this fake me fighting out. Now this is the way he did it. He said, I started just asking God, if you're really in me, if the Holy Spirit really indwells me, if the Holy Spirit is really bringing out who I really am, my true nature, he said, I'm just going to try to allow you to do that. And so he said he was lying on the couch. And he said, it was a hard day the day before. It's Saturday. He said, man, I'm just going to have a lay on the couch day. He said his wife walked in and she said, honey, that yard really needs to be mowed. And he said he laid there for a second. And he said, I don't want to get up off this couch. I have no desire to go out there and move the yard. But he said, God, you said that I love my wife. I'm supposed to love my wife like you love the church. That must be who I really am. I must really be a person that loves my wife like you love the church. And I'm just this fake me. It's just, and he said, so therefore, God, he said, I'm going to need you to help me get up off this couch and go mow that yard because I have no desire for it. And so he said, okay, God, 1 foot. And he put a foot down. And he said, okay, God, 2 feet. And he put 2 feet down. And he sat up and he's, yes, dear. And he went out and got the mower. And he said, you still wasn't feeling it. Still wasn't feeling it. But he said, God, I know you love my wife. And you want to, you know, that's going to be coming. That's who I am. I love my wife. And he said, you know, therefore, you got to mow this yard, God. But I'm going to let you use me to do it. And so he grabbed hold of the mower, and he said, just started walking. And he said, as he started mowing that yard, he said, okay, God. He said, I'm loving my wife. Okay, God, this feels good that I'm loving my wife. He said, about halfway through the yard, he was in the middle of a worship time, worshiping God, that he would allow the Holy Spirit to come through him, and his true self was breaking through. Now, it's kind of a silly story to have God mow your yard, but let me come at it again and tell you, you are a saved child of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you that's going to encourage you to become more and more Christ-like. And when you say, God, you know what? I don't really want to study the Word. Why not instead you say, God, I do want to study the Word. That's who I really am. But there's all this stuff piled on top of it. Help me to get that stuff out of the way. And you desire the Word through me. Fake it till you make it. You kind of get the idea? And it's not really faking. It's actually being who you really are. Number three. Third way you do this. Clear space for it and lean into the unity of the believers. Now, where does that come from? That comes from the therefore statement. So let's go back to the therefore statement. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, because we just told you, commanded you, right? We just commanded you to love each other. Choose love. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander of every kind. Now, I want you to notice in this grouping of sins, do y'all see which sins are missing there? There's no murder, right? There's no spiritual, using the Lord's name in vain, or one of the big ones, right? That's not in there. There's no sexual sins in that little phraseology. Did you notice all those kinds of sins that he just named off? He said malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. You know what those are? Those are relationship killers. He said, rid yourself of relationship killers. He said, I have commanded you to love each other, but here's what's going to happen. As you're loving each other, there's going to be a little lie toad. And then suddenly there's going to be a rip in that relationship. There's going to be this little hypocritical kind of statement that comes out, where you're going to act like, you're something, I can't believe that. One of those hypocritical where that's going to do? That's going to make a fake relationship. That's going to be a mask that you wear. He said, get rid of the mask. Be careful of envy. You know what? Envy's a secret sin, isn't it? I don't come up to Eric and look at him and say, Eric, I really want that shirt. I want it now. I don't do that, right? I don't go, hey, you got a new car. I want that new car. Right? It's that secret thing inside you. It's that, why do they have that and I don't? And that stirring up inside you of something where you envy somebody else, or you envy a relationship they have, or you envy a home that they have, or a job, and that envy the family that they've got. You envy it, and what does envy do? It separates you in that relationship. And so here Peter is saying, he said, because I told you that you have to love each other, because there is something about being a body of believers that supports you in your faith walk in this life, that you've got to watch out for these little sins, these little relationship sins, because you need to get rid of those. And you need to be able to lean into the unity of the believers that you have. Listen, this word rid, the word rid right there, it's epotithene, epotithene. Now, you heard it then. Did you hear that first little phrase, epo? Yeah, epo, that's that intensifier. So let's see what tithene is. Tithene is to take off dirty clothes. So this is the picture of tithene. Tithene is you're out working in the yard. You come in, you're hot, you're sweaty, you got stuff, and you say, well, I'm going to take these clothes off. And you don't put them back on, right? Unless they send you back out to mow the yard, and you have to say, Holy Spirit, let me put my whole clothes back on so I can mow the yard because I love my wife. But you say, you want to rid yourself of those dirty clothes, right? But here, he puts the intensifier with it. So it's like, you want to real quickly get rid of those clothes. My granddad would tell this story about when my mama was a baby. And my granddad said, my mama would always, when she was a little baby, wake up in the middle of the night at some point with a wet diaper. And because my grandmother would take care of her during the day, it was my grandfather's job, when my mama was a baby, to get up in the middle of the night and go and change the diaper, because my mom always woke up with a wet diaper in the middle of the night. And so he learned that if he went in there and he turned on the light and he searched for the diaper, back then it wasn't disposable, you had to have the pins and the cloth and all that stuff. He said if he turned on the light and did all that, then it would completely wake my mother up.
And then she would be up for another hour or two, and he wouldn't get any sleep. And so he discovered if he left the lights off, before he went to bed, he set out the diaper and the stuff like that, that he could, in the middle of the night, come into the room with very little light, pick up her legs, undo the pins, pick up her legs, whip out the diaper, throw another diaper under there, do it, never turn on the lights, and he could go back to bed. You know where this is going. So one night he got up, he's in his pajamas, he goes into the room, mom's crying, lights off, diaper's out, undoes the pins, grabs the diaper, whips that sucker out, and all of a sudden he hears a thump. The smell starts coming up of urine and poop all mixed together. And on his pajamas, he flips on the light. Ah! Can I tell you, at that point, my granddaddy wanted epithaneo. He wanted to get out of those clothes as quick as he could, right? You know, when something, you know, that is that picture of you've got something nasty on you, and you want to get it off and not put it back on as quickly as you can. Can you see what Peter is saying here? He said, rid yourself, get rid of them, take them off as quick as you can, with emphasis, with intensity. Take off slander, take off envy. You need the body of Christ to work through this in your life. You need people urging you on to crave the Word of God. You need Bible studies where people are teaching the Word of God. You need prayer meetings where real prayer is going on. You need the body of Christ to do this. Clear space for it. Get that stuff out. Which one of those sins are you harboring right now? And could that be one of the reasons that you're not craving the Word of God? The last one, the last point. Start small and grow. Let's reread that one more time. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander of every kind. Like a newborn baby, crave the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted, the Lord is good. You see those two little phrases he's there? He says we need to grow up in our salvation. Growing up doesn't happen fast. Growing up happens slow. And so in this, realize it's a crock pot, not a microwave, right? We're going to put it in there. We're going to set it on low. And as we every day say, Holy Spirit, help me crave the Word of God. Holy Spirit, help me crave the Word of God. Holy, right about here, we give up usually. But we're going to keep on going. Holy Spirit, help me crave the Word of God. And what you're going to find is slowly you're going to be now 5 years old and then 6 years old in your faith and 7 years old and then 8 years old in your faith. And then 9, you're going to start growing. And as you reach your teenage years in your faith, you know, you've got all these different thoughts. We know what it looks like to grow up. And it's a process. And he's saying, as you do these things, there will be a process of growth in your life. I like that last phrase. The last phrase said, now that you have tasted, the Lord is good. How do you start this? You start it with a taste. You remember last week I said, one of the things God should call us to do is to meditate on the Word of God. You know, read big, but meditate small. Get a taste of what it means to meditate on the Word of God. In closing today, I've got a challenge. And then I want to read one more Bible verse, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to read it because it's a really good Bible verse. But my challenge today is to taste the Word of God this week. So what I want to do is I want to, in the smallest way possible that I could think of, challenge some people here to see what it's like to crave the Word of God. And that's just by tasting the Word of God. So what I have in this basket are about 10 or 15 Bible verses. Just ran them off this morning. Secretaries didn't do this, so if it's all messy, don't get mad. I'd like to challenge 5 people. Young, old, I don't care. 5 people. Here's your challenge. I'd like you to come up and pick a Bible verse.
Now, what I did, I didn't want to go and find the best Bible verses in the Bible. You know, I want this to be a true thing. So I went to one of these websites that says Bible verse of the day. And I just went back about 2 weeks and I put each one of those Bible verses on a card. So these are random Bible verses. Some are Old Testament, some are New Testament. I did take out the rather negative ones because I kind of thought, that's not a good place to start. So they're all positive. There's no crush their heads against the rock, God, you know, David kind of things in there. Good Bible verses. Here's the challenge. Five people, I'd like you to come up and accept this challenge to pick a Bible verse. And then this is what you're going to do. It's really simple. You're going to take the Bible verse and you're going to read it five times every day this week. So you would read it when you get up in the morning, at breakfast, at lunch, at dinner, and when you go to bed at night. That's Monday. Then Tuesday, do it again. Wednesday, do it again. Thursday, do it again. Friday, do it again. Saturday, do it again. And then Sunday morning, I'm going to kind of be texting you and asking you if anything happened. This is simple. You would go, this one, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, tremble before him all the earth. That's Psalms 96:9. And you would read that when you woke up and just say a little prayer like this. God, help this verse to mean something to me today. If you'd read that five times every day and asking God to show you how that verse applied, I don't know what God would do. Maybe it's a person he'll bring into your life. Maybe it's a word that you need. You know, maybe the first day you go, I didn't get anything out of it at all. Great, do it again tomorrow. Right? It's a growth process. It's a slow burn. And then next week, I'll talk to you before. Trust me, if you volunteer for this, I'm not going to make you come up in front of everybody. But I will come to you next week and say, do you have a story about your verse? And then I'd like to share some of those stories next week about how we meditated on the Word of God. Now, everybody can participate. Just pick a verse. But I want five people that I can kind of track with. So right now, I need five brave people. I don't need all kids. I don't need all teenagers. I need some from everywhere. So would anybody be willing to volunteer to pick a Mac? I'm coming to you. Reach in there, grab a verse. It's going to be love your wife, and it's really going to mess you up this week. Okay, Valerie? Here you go. Okay, here you go. Okay, I've got four now. I've got four. Who's my last one? All the way on the back? All right, now everybody else, I saw you up there. Just pick a verse, okay? Pick a verse. And if anybody else, if you do this on your own this week, do me a favor. Because you know, these five people, I know who they are, so I'm going to track with them. But next week, come to me and tell me, you know, if you're doing this on your own, if it worked for you. Here's our last verse for the day. We're going to 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His goodness. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask right now that you put a passion in our heart for your word. God, as we just kind of practice right now of seeing that tasting your goodness is something that is good for us, and something that you can apply in our life. God, I just pray that you just show us over and over again this week how kind you are, how loving you are, and how you've already gone in front of us and to the side of us and all around us, God. And we just have to learn to trust you. Others trust in chariots and horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. As we enter into this time of invitation, maybe it's the time where you just accept the challenge on your own where you're at and just say, hey, God, Blake isn't going to be checking in on me, but help me to follow through with this. God, you know, right now, guys, you know, maybe God's like doing something in your life where you need some prayer. I've got some deacons here. I'm here. If you just need time for someone to pray over you,
They'll take you to the side, and you don't have to worry about interrupting anybody. But if you need prayer, man, this would be a perfect time as a family that agape loves each other to come down and receive some prayer. Right now, maybe God's talking to you about a decision you need to make, maybe joining our church. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit is stirring in you and saying that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we saw this baptism last week, and maybe it's been sitting on your mind all week. And right now, allow God. He's drawing you in. And when you accept Him, then the Holy Spirit comes in, and some of these truths we've been talking about becomes evident in your life. But you've got to take that step. Let's just pray. Oh, we already prayed. Let's just take this time to sing and let God do what God's going to do.
Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and the light.
Don't forget about our meeting tonight. So if you want to be in on that conversation tonight, that's at 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. If you're a deacon, 4 o'clock, we have a meeting for the deacons of the church before then. We'll see you guys tonight. Epiphaneo, man. Epiphaneo. Do it, man. Do it. You gotta give that to God, you know that, don't you? I mean, you really do. You just gotta say, God, you're not in control of him. You gotta let it go, bro. You're needed. Yeah? There's a step. I'm gonna pray that he gets some truth in his brain and some wisdom. Well, I don't know. I mean, just our kids, they go sideways sometimes. Hope as they get older they don't go as far as sideways. take what gives you, but don't take it all. Don't take it all, because that's two different people. I'm talking to Leon. He was just saying, someone just has to say, God, I love him, and I'm just going to keep on loving him no matter what. Don't mean to make you cry, man, but I'm there for you.
What'd you get? But you were washed and you were sanctified, you were justified. That is an awesome verse. That's not a bad one to think about all week long at all. I think there was one in there about, when someone is mean to you. And I just thought, man, someone's going to get this, has a mean wife, and they're going to say, you don't have a mean wife, though.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Jesus here today, Lord, we welcome you in our lives, we welcome you in our minds. Hosanna,
Hosanna,
bless the seed,
bless the seed,
in the name of the Lord.
Bless the seed.
Bless the seed who come in the name of the Lord.
Bless the seed.
Bless the seed who come in the name of the Lord.
I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that prayer changes things. Because the Bible says the fervent prayers of the righteous man gets a whole lot done. So let's come into the presence of God, y'all. Just like Jesus taught us to do. He said, pray like this.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Help me out.
Our Father.
Lead us not into.